From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A pro-Palestinian encampment at Sacramento State will be ending, according to the university. The group of protesters have been camping in the Sac State Quad for over a week to protest the war in Gaza and to prevent the university from financially supporting organizations that do business with Israel. Sacramento State has amended several of its policies in response to the encampment, but we're still awaiting an official response from the university. We are told, though, that at this noon hour, because Insight does rebroadcast at 7 p.m., that Sac State student organizers will be talking about the terms they agreed to. We do have a Cap Radio reporter on campus right now, and you will hear that reporting throughout the day on Cap Radio. This is just one of hundreds of demonstrations taking place across college campuses across the country and in California, including one at UC Davis, which is still ongoing. At the core of this reporting are student journalists on the ground, and we're going to hear the experiences covering their own college campuses. Joining us is Athmika Iyer at UC Santa Barbara, Christina Scarbull, who reports with the USC Daily Trojan, and Christopher Buchanan at UCLA. These student journalists are also with the CalMatters College Journalism Network Fellowship. CalMatters is a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. Welcome to you all.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much. So excited to chat.
Well, Athmika, I wanted to start with you. You are a fourth year at UC Santa Barbara, a student journalist, of course. Have you covered something like this before?
Not exactly to the scale. Working at the Daily Nexus at UCSB, we've definitely seen our fair share of protests in the last few years. Grad strikes was one of them. We had a lot of housing-related protests as well in relation to a lack of for students here, as well as against Munger Hall, or Dormzilla as it was called by the media. But in terms of protests that have escalated to the degree that we're seeing in terms of civil disobedience, in terms of encampment protests, this is definitely a first time.
What was specifically different about this year and the reporting that you were doing over the last few weeks?
Well, I think the other two situations I mentioned perhaps had more room for resolution. For example, with grad strikes, you reached a resolution over unfair labor practices. Munger Hall, the concept was dissolved. Here, there's a lot of students that are advocating for divestment, which from an infrastructural perspective, I think is a more difficult resolution to engage with. But also the fact that there are two different groups with two different perspectives regarding indigeneity and territory has made it so that we're seeing two different groups, two different perspectives that are coming to a direct head in a college space where people have a lot of close ties, familial, or have allied themselves with a cause that they believe so important that they're willing to sacrifice their education for it. So I think that it's a different experience because there's perhaps a lot more at stake.
Christina, I want to move to you. You just finished your junior year. You're a rising senior at USC. You also are the associate managing editor for the Daily Trojan there on campus. What is it like there right now? Are commencements at USC, are they continuing? Are they happening? What's going on with the campus?
Sure, yeah. So the university canceled the main stage commencement a few days after it canceled the main valedictory address by Asna Tabassum, who, you know, had received threats because of some anti-Zionist content in her Instagram link in bio. And so the university canceled that commencement. A few days later, announced that it would be holding a they call it a Trojan family celebration at the LA Memorial Coliseum as a sort of alternative main event, but it'll still be holding satellite ceremonies for each of the schools and miscellaneous celebrations across the 4 days of commencement starting today and ending May 11th. And so still some celebrations happening. Campus is largely closed off to the public right now, including USC Village. Right now, only students, faculty, registered guests, and people with business at the university are able to enter beyond the gates. And so what that means for media is it's been largely sidelined. Student journalism has been incredibly important because we've been the ones reporting from inside. But yeah, a lot of unrest still after the encampment was cleared on Sunday, and a lot of uncertainty in the aftermath with student suspensions and some exams being moved online.
How are you reflecting on your reporting about what unfolded?
Yeah, I think the main thing that's been coming up for me in the days after I sort of left campus to go home, have kind of mostly winded down our reporting for the time being with the cleared encampment, has been just the unity that I've seen and sort of all the perseverance and bravery that I've witnessed among the student journalists at the Daily Trojan and across the country. You know, we've seen student journalists putting themselves on the front lines of really, you know, turbulent times. And I think it's been just so inspiring to see all of my colleagues really come together, realize that this is, you know, a national moment. We're making, you know, history on these campuses across the country, that, you know, it is our responsibility, our duty to be reporting. And so I'm just so, so proud of all of the work that the 15 people from the Daily Trojan, you know, staff writers, editors, photographers, people who have been managing our live updates page, you know, we've just done so much, so much work, and everybody deserves an amazing rest right now. Don't know if we'll be getting that because, you know, the news doesn't stop, but I think that's just the main thing, is just how much we were able to do and how much everybody has proven themselves. I'm so proud of everybody.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, it is very much appreciated to get really an objective sense of what's happening on college campuses. Christopher, you're a third year at UCLA, and you were right in the thick of it as well as a student journalist. I mean, the dynamic of these protests and counter-protests from one campus to the next, it can vary in the intensity, in the energy. I do think it escalated a lot at UCLA. I mean, why do you think the demonstrations and counter demonstrations escalated to the level that it did at UCLA, since you were there witnessing it firsthand?
Yeah, I would definitely attribute it the most to how administration handled themselves amid, you know, the protests and the counter protests. I think in large part, the lack of a police response initially actually ended up heightening the response when, you know, obviously students and counter protesters had engaged each other with more intensity. So I think it was kind of just an overall failure in terms of campus safety, especially considering that, you know, students were arrested, students were hurt, many students were hospitalized. Yeah, it's just been a very difficult situation to gauge, especially since there have been campus closures and, you know, arrest of journalists and other students in the following days since the encampment has ended.
I mean, it was dangerous for you as well. I mean, I saw on Twitter or X from the Daily Bruin, I mean, you were pulled to the ground while reporting. Can you share with us what happened to the degree that you're comfortable?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, a group of pretty belligerent counter-protesters who had, you know, provoked a lot of violence during the actual engagement with the protesters approached me and three of my other colleagues and began referencing to one of my colleagues with her first name. It was a very, you know, harrowing experience, especially because these men did not look like students. They weren't students that we recognized at all. And some of them were visibly older than, you know, college age students usually are. So after we were walking back to the Daily Bruin office after our coverage at about 3 a.m., a group of 4 to 9 men tried to make a blockade in between us and the office. And after some words were traded back and forth between myself and the other protesters, they actually ended up attacking me and pulling me into the middle of the street, kicking and beating me for about a minute while they were also spraying some pungent I don't know what I would call it. It was sort of like pepper spray. It was an irritant of some sort. They were spraying that on my colleagues, and I'm pretty sure that the editor in question that was referenced directly actually was also injured by, these adult men. But after that, we went back. We were just trying to gather ourselves. I ended up finding out that my phone was broken. So yeah, it was a very, definitely a very shocking experience as a student journalist.
Are you doing okay now?
Yeah, I'm completely okay.
Okay, good. I mean, yeah, that absolutely is a fraught experience and a scary experience to be involved in. What is it like at UCLA right now? I mean, is campus open?
No, campus operations are very, very, very limited. Especially large gatherings of students, I've seen being provoked by UCPD. There have been, various instances of, students being punished for walking on campus. All of our classes have moved online for the week. But yeah, it's not the UCLA that I was introduced to when I first started attending.
Yeah, and you bring up an important point that although these demonstrations are happening at college campuses, they're not necessarily all students. It is people from outside of the campus community also participating in these, right, Christopher?
Yeah, and especially since Westwood is so integrated with the school itself, it's very easy for, adults to access the campus if they feel, that demonstrations go against their own views.
Christina, I mean, at USC, you're not your short drive away from UCLA. I'm just curious because at the Daily Trojan, you had dedicated journalism as well as at UC Santa Barbara and UCLA as well. How did you and your fellow student journalists at USC ensure well-rounded coverage of a really complex dynamic with a lot of different perspectives and angles that are all passionate and can be heated? I mean, you have pro-Palestinian protests, you met with counter-protests, you also have Palestinian students as well as Jewish students. Students, some supporting the pro-Palestinian protests, others concerned about their own safety and anti-Semitism. What conversations did you have at the Daily Trojan about having well-rounded coverage?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a big, startup for us to start reporting on this. We put on a live updates page when we decided just individual articles that, obviously take more time to edit, to copy. We decided that it would be most efficient to put up just live, reporting from the scene. So we always had a few reporters there just following everything that was happening. At the start, obviously, it was very focused on the encampment, the demands of the protesters, and the pro-Palestinian students that were out and on the ground. By the third day, we had decided that it would be, just not complete to do our reporting without talking about the impacts of the protests and just views of on the protest by other members of the USC community. And so we had a couple of our team deciding to focus their efforts on reporting on Jewish perspectives and, from Hillel, from Chabad, from different groups on campus, reporting on what students from those groups were feeling, how they have been interacting with the protests, and also covering just any counter protests that were happening. Because obviously it's a very wide-spanning issue and there was always just so much happening. We were always trying to report on exactly what was taking place minute by minute. That involved not only the protests themselves, but how people were reacting to them and their impacts on the greater USC community. I worked on a few stories on faculty reactions, an academic senate meeting that happened, a faculty protest in support of the protesting students and their rights to assembly and free speech on campus. And also on the impacts of a canceled commencement ceremony on graduating seniors who haven't had a, regular graduation ceremony since the eighth grade in many cases. And so I think there's just so many people that are involved, so many groups on campus that have been very outspoken about, divestment, but also about like campus safety, free speech. So many faculty groups organizing around this cause. And It's been very difficult, I would say, to maintain that kind of balance in our reporting. And sometimes we've recognized that, that's maybe not the goal, but we are trying to report it as best as we can with the resources that we have. And that's what we've been trying to do all along. And even now that, the semester has ended, we're still trying to do that. And, it really is limited by, how many people we have out and making sure that people don't burn out. But we try our best. And I think we so far have done a great job.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with student journalists at UC Santa Barbara, UCLA, and USC about covering campus protests. Athmika, outside of journalism, I mean, you all are students on campus. And as Christina just illustrated, I mean, you also had the pandemic, you had a disruption to education because of a pandemic. And then, of course, it has been more disruption following demonstrations and protests as well. Some commencements have been altered or canceled. Campus is not really the campus that it was, perhaps a year ago. Given that you're a student on campus, what did you hear from other fellow students who aren't participating in these demonstrations but taking it all in?
I think that we're in a space of higher education and that universities aren't doing a good job of fostering dialogue around the current issue. As a student, I can speak to many class spaces where anytime students have brought up any perspectives regarding Israel and Palestine, professors have sort of been uncomfortable and just sort of shut the conversation down. And I also think that this issue has been incredibly divisive on campuses. People have sort of dug their foot in on where they stand, and it's hard for people to really hear one another anymore. And I honestly blame a lot of that on a failure of the university again, right? If there's any space to talk about politics, to talk about religion, to talk about international issues, we have the experts there. We're supposed to be a space for that very dialogue, and we're not fostering it. We're shutting it down because these universities are scared, essentially, of the disruption that's happening on campus, which I think is incredibly unfortunate because I think that universities really are the space to be having these dialogues. And yet we're seeing civil disobedience being met with police throwing projectiles and arresting students and suspending students. So I would say that students feel honestly quite overwhelmed. It's hard when there's no guidance or leadership from a university that should be well poised to support students at a time like this.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, as college students, you are at the center of a news cycle. As students, you are experiencing and seeing history unfold. And as student journalists, all three of you are reporting on that at your own college campuses. We only have like 60 seconds left, so this is a rapid fire question. After your experience of covering this, has this deepened your passion for journalism, perhaps outside of college, or maybe reevaluating what you want to do? How about you, Christopher?
No, it most definitely has, I would say, has electrified me to some extent. I feel like seeing students, like Christina mentioned, seeing students unify in such a way directly in front of my eyes has been something that I've been really honored to cover, especially since it is such a historical time.
How about you, Christina, USC?
Yeah, for sure. As I mentioned, I think just the community that I've seen us build and strengthen over the last 2 weeks has really shown me that, the student journalists I know are probably the most passionate people that I've met throughout college. And I just love how we have, come together to address issues of censorship, press freedom, how we've been thinking about innovating for increased reader engagement, and really just like serving as a microcosm for the greater journalism industry. It's really made me, so sure that I want to pursue journalism post-grad.
And Athmika, I'll leave the last words to you.
Yeah, I think that through CalMatters, I've had an opportunity to pursue accountability journalism with law enforcement response and specific regarding these encampment protests. And it's shown me the importance of accountability journalism, holding institutions accountable to the communities that they serve. And I think there's a lot of value in that endeavor. And I think that student journalists are the ones who've been getting it right time and time again over a lot of seasoned reporters that have been trying to get their perspectives or their reporting in on the issue. So I think if anything, this has shown me that our generation of journalists are well poised to come out there and hold a lot of these institutions accountable.
Thank you all for joining us, all three of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Athmika Iyer is a UC Santa Barbara student journalist. Christina Scharbel is a student journalist with the USC Daily Trojan. And Christopher Buchanan is a student journalist at UCLA. They shared their experience covering protests at their own college campuses. They are also with the CalMatters College Journalism Network Fellowship. Up next, blood and platelet donations are needed year-round, but Vitalant is highlighting a specific need for new mothers. The nonprofit joins us about the call-out for maternal blood needs. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.